This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Happy Patriots Friday to you. It's KJ and Lyons on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. John, Drake May is the question we all have right now. Will he or will he not clear concussion protocol? You almost feel like, to keep the momentum going that the fans, if there's any positivity they have feeling about this team, it's centered around Drake May.
Oh, 100% it's centered around Drake May. And also, I would say, KJ, the matchup this weekend. Because I think you look at this matchup, not only are you excited about Drake May regardless, but this is a matchup he could potentially play well and the Patriots could get their first wire-to-wire win with Drake May playing an entire game if he is, of course, able to play.
Doesn't that sound crazy? Wire-to-wire win?
Because technically, he got a win as a starter last week, right?
Right, exactly, because he started the game. And watch, back-to-back wins, right? Like, I don't know if that was even part of the conversation or thought process. Think about this. When is the last time this Patriots team had back-to-back wins that you can remember?
Back-to-back wins. I'm thinking back to 2022. I already skipped past last year.
Rotating win-loss, win-loss, win-loss?
I feel like there might have been one stretch where I'd have to go back.
Was it Cleveland and Detroit at that time when they beat Cleveland and Detroit?
I would have to go back and look.
Yeah, that's what's absolutely crazy. And I think that's why I understand where some of the fan base is kind of like, be cautious with them. I don't understand the process of this game doesn't matter. I would argue every game matters for a team that only has two wins. If you have a chance to win against an opponent that literally almost shadows what you do. But I'll tell you why I'm a bit concerned about this Tennessee team. Okay, points against, Patriots 197, Titans 196. Points four for the Patriots, 124 for the Tennessee Titans, 120. So you're literally talking about two teams almost equally as bad. Their margin of victory or loss really is 9 points for the Patriots, 10 points for the Titans. The only thing is the Titans have played tougher opponents. So the concern I would have is, would there potentially be a little bit of a mental letdown from the defense to say, hey, this team isn't really that good. They really can't run the ball. Okay, you got to keep an eye on Calvin Ridley if he's going to be in there. If he's not going to be in there, I wouldn't want this team to, Will Levis is a mistake machine. Again, both of these teams are equally bad. Are you concerned a little bit of letdown because of who the opponent is?
And just for the record, KJ, the last time the Patriots won multiple games in a row was October 30th to November 20th, 2022. So, been a while.
Jeez. It's been a while.
So, this Titans team is interesting to me, but in a way of how they're bad, okay? And let me explain that. Like, let's start first, Titans defense, right? Number one defense in the NFL with yards. Number one passing D. but they're 21st in passer rating allowed. And I'll get into what that means more later. And then you mentioned their offense, 30th in yards per game, 31st in pass yards per game, 28th in points per game. So bottom of the league in pretty much all these categories, especially offensively. And then defensively, the numbers look better, but I think those are kind of fraudulent numbers in a way, at least in part. So
yeah,
I think
your opponent's put 50 up on the board on you, whatever you really do in that game doesn't really count.
Yeah, right. So right, and I'll get more into numbers later. But my point is that this is a test, I think, for Jerod Mayo and DeMarcus Covington, and you, to a lesser extent, maybe Alex Van Pelt, in that do you keep these guys fully locked in and on it? Because for a young team with a young coaching staff, we've seen it happen many times before in other places. You come off a big win, your opponent just lost 52-14, and you let up a little, and then you get surprised, and you lose a game that you probably should win. So I think this is, again, we've talked all season about these tests Jerod Mayo is going to get along the way, right, as a rookie head coach, and the growing pains and what he has to learn from. This is another one of those little tests because, hey, yeah, you won a nice game last weekend. And look, the Jets are bad, we know, but you still won the game. You won it in the last minute. It was exciting. The Titans just got smoked. They have a bunch of guys injured. Legarius Sneed's not even going to play. Do you keep these guys locked in enough that they don't overlook it, they don't suffer a hiccup, and you come out of there with a win, which, frankly, KJ, I know it's two bad teams, but I think this is a game the Patriots should win.
Join the conversation, KJ in line, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. David in the car, good Friday to you. Thanks so much for hanging out. WEEI, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. So I want to ask you guys something. I am a huge New England fan, and I'm going to explain why I'm being very thing about Drake May not playing this week. I'm going to tell you why. My first question is, why are we so obsessed with Drake May, who really hasn't shown anything, and the only two wins that the team has, Jacoby got them for you. So why are we obsessed to begin with?
David, thanks for the call. Yeah, because, let's call it what it is, Drake May has been able to put points on the board early in the game, which has been a problem with this team for the last couple of years. I'm not saying the guy is the savior, but look, if you know that coming out of the first quarter, you've at least put a touchdown on the board, that gives you a chance to stay in the game. And if you feel like your defense is still a little bit better than your offense, then you give your defense a chance, watch this, to protect a lead. Like, this hasn't been a team that's been designed to come from behind in 5 years, right? In 5 years, this team has not been designed to say, hey, this is a team that can come down from 10.
Since Brady left.
Right. Yeah. So if they're up by 7 or can get up by 10, this at least walks into a wheelhouse where you feel like the Patriots' defense can bend enough and not break. So this is where Drake May has been beneficial. Even with the start of Mac Jones' career, it was kind of like get to the 25 and run out and run the kicker out. Now you're like, okay, you can go ahead and get that opening drive. How many times, John, have we talked about on this show time of possession, lack of moving the ball on the field? What was it, 2 years ago? They were second in field position, like almost near dead last time of possession. So those things are changing because of May's ability of what he can do on the field right now. That's why I would say it is a little bit of a big deal, because he also buys a little bit of an excuse for the offensive line when they can't block Jacoby Brissett.
And here's the thing, and like, I'm not trying to state the obvious here. The reason people are interested in Drake May is because he's the third overall pick and he could be the future of your franchise. Like, that's why you want him out there. Like, I understand Jacoby Brissett's won you both your games, but we can't honestly conflate that with the future of your franchise, which is Drake May. So, like, to the caller's question, like, that's why everyone's interested.
Well, and part of game, and even the Cincinnati game, John, what you say, it was a lot of it was Cincinnati's mistakes that helped contribute to that. Right?
And I think, and again, no, Jacoby deserves credit, but you're right. A lot of the Cincinnati win was Cincinnati's mistakes. And frankly, the Jets game, they also made plenty of mistakes, too. I mean, even Drake May's rushing touchdown. Like, how many times are the Jets' defensive linemen going to rush upfield and give him wide-open lanes? Right? Like, so even that one was a lot to do with the Jets' mistakes, and I'm not trying to take credit away from Jacoby, but the point is, like, this is an opportunity for May to go out there against a team that I think you are better than. Probably the only time all year, KJ, they might line up against a team and we say, wow, they're better than that team, talent-wise. Because especially, again, with Sneed out and Calvin Ridley, there's some questions whether he'll play, same with Tony Pollard. So they might line up there and actually be the better team.
Personnel to personnel, right.
Yeah, which is, again, that might be the only time all year we say this. So it's an opportunity for him to go out there and win that type of game. And if you're going to be a good team next year, year after, whenever that's going to be, hopefully sooner rather than later, those are the games you have to without a doubt be able to win. When you walk on the field and you are the more talented team, you have to be able to win those games. And this might be the only time all year we get to test that theory.
Well, no, here's the other reason why. What was the conversation last Friday about this team going into the Jets game? Mayo's overwhelmed. He's got to go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, so yeah, there were people saying he should be fired. Yeah,
he should be fired.
Those calls, yeah.
Right, you remember the rumor we didn't touch about, like, hey, he could be gone before Sunday's game. You know, all that stuff that was floating around, a lot of it was crap in the ocean. But at the end of the day, that's not the conversation right now. And it's tied to confident quarterback play from Drake May. And also Jacoby Brissett winning that game at the end, beating the Jets. And then having a quarterback go into concussion protocol where everybody's been watching that. So this is what's so fascinating about pro football more so than any other sport. What happened last Friday almost feels like three stories ago just with this team. And that was just last Friday.
Essentially, it was three stories ago.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, you got the May concussion, the win, right. And now leading into the title. I mean, it was three stories ago, but... And part of this is the nature of fans and the nature of sports radio. But if they lose this game, especially if they don't look good.
Oh, we're back at square one.
What do you think? We're going to be back to last Friday again, right?
Man, exactly. What is Mayo doing? You couldn't beat that team. You know, you had all the opportunity. You had better personnel. So that's what makes pro football fascinating. People wonder, like, why do you always talk about football? Because it's really soap operas for men. Am I lying, John?
Check the ratings.
Young and the Restless is still on the television, too.
It's a great show. Zach Coe loves that show.
Oh, one of my favorites.
You loved Young and the Restless?
What do you think his nickname was in college?
Are you kidding? So, Zach, were you one of those that used to schedule your classes at lunch so that way you can watch Young and the Restless and eat your meal?
No, I was an afternoon class guy, so I could sleep in.
So you could sleep in. Oh, man, we could talk. We won't talk about Young and the Restless now, but off the air, I'll share some great Young and the Restless.
He's got Justin Jag soap opera power ranking.
Oh, Young and the Restless 1. Turn the rest of the feature off.
Yeah,
Justin Jag is coming up here on the show tonight before we get out of here at 9. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ and Lyons here on WEEI. We also got to talk about the banner raising in Indianapolis the other night. Celtics are down in Charlotte for a back-to-back. I mean, they put a lot of effort into that.
How come they can't make a Monday night game in Charlotte? I mean, come on. If you get the reference, you get the reference. Monday in Charlotte.
I don't.
Oh, I'll have to text you.
Okay, because I used to live there. So
I'll send you the video. It's a video.
That's what it is. So we'll get to Celtics talk as well. So continue to hang out. More Patriots talk. Drake May, should he be in there? Is this a big enough deal game to you to see him out there? Look, football, you're going to get hurt, but do you want to see him get another week of rest and go for the following week, or do you want to see him in Sunday's game? We're still waiting to see if he clears concussion protocol. Right now, let's trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. Patriots held their final practice of the week ahead of Sunday's matchup in Nashville against the Titans. Quarterback Drake May was listed as questionable with a concussion. Also listed as questionable were tackle Viridian Lowe, safety Kyle Duggar, and guard Leighton Robinson. Wide receiver Jalen Polk has cleared concussion protocol and was upgraded to a full participant. Pats take on the Titans Sunday afternoon, kickoff set for 1 p.m. Celtics in Charlotte to take on the Hornets tonight, looking to bounce back after Wednesday's overtime loss to the Pacers. Al Horford will miss the game for load management purposes. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. Another rough one last night for the Bruins. They fell to the Hurricanes 8-2 in Carolina. Brad Marchand and Hampus Lindholm, the lone goal scorers for the Bees. They'll look to rebound tomorrow in Philadelphia, taking on the Flyers. Puck drop set for 1 tomorrow afternoon. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC, member DIF. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lyons coming up after this.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment. A show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lyons. A show for the people. By the people.
Yes, KJ and Lyons can.
KJ and Lyons are doing a heck of a job.
And yes, KJ and Lyons are bigly on sports.
Read my lips.
KJ and Lyons are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lyons work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lyons. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons on your Friday. Thank you so much for hanging out. Patriots Friday, getting ready for what we think is going to be a competitive game between two equally bad and equally good teams, which is a rarity. This is one of the games I felt like they would win it once the season started, because I didn't think that Tennessee offered up much, even though at the time they did have DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley. It's completely decimated squad. But doesn't it feel like both of these squads are really playing for Tuesday? Do you know what I mean when I say that in terms of the trade deadline? Like, this is going to be a way to showcase guys that might be able to start helping each of these teams build their future with, say, a return draft pick, fourth rounder, fifth rounder. There are some people I don't want to see go, but I think there are going to be some people who clearly are gone. It's just a matter of either A, you play them and they showcase and not get hurt, or B, you look at the list of the inactives and you can figure out who's probably going to get traded, because guess who was on the inactives last the week before? Josh Uche, right? So like, that could be a giveaway of who might be on the trading block if they seem to be a healthy scratch, or you never heard any reports of them being injured in practice.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thought, KJ, because you mentioned like Josh Uche has already been traded. There's guys on both of these teams that I think are attractive to contenders, right? We've talked about Jonathan Jones and Kendrick Bourne from a Patriots perspective. And these are two teams, like, whoever wins this game is still going to be near the bottom of the league, right? Like, the Patriots might end up being 3-6, or the Titans will be 2-6, right? Like, so it's not like one of these teams is going to win and all of a sudden be, you know, a wild card contender. So I think if you're one of these teams looking for it, this is a win to try to build something on, right? For the Titans, they have not played well. They're 1-6. I think they've been way below expectations. If you look at some of the money and capital they spent this offseason, they went out and got L'Jarius Sneed. They outbid the Patriots for Calvin Ridley, and they're 1-6. And the Patriots, you have that win last week. Maybe Drake May will be back, maybe not, but you had some young players contribute in that win last week. Can you build on that? So not just for Tuesday, KJ, but again, this is another area, especially for the Patriots, to try to build on for the future going forward. But yeah, I think Tuesday's kind of hanging over this game a little bit. If you will. And the weird thing too, there's so many teams, yeah, one or two wins. And it's like, is there going to be a team out there this weekend that gets their third win and says, oh, we've turned it around? Like, think about the Jets last night. Like, they're 3-6, but you look
at that.
They could run
the table.
Well, you look at that team and you're like, all right, they're obviously way too talented to be 3-6. Did they figure something out? Because Houston's a good team. Did they figure something out, or was it a one-off and they're going to be bad again? But you could see the Jets trying to buy. I mean, they already have with Devontae Adams.
Do they have any room left to buy?
Yeah, fair enough. But they're not a team that I think is going to sell, right? And the Patriots,
right.
I think they will probably end up selling either way. But if they win and they're 3-6, maybe they sell a little less, I guess, instead of 2-7, right?
Well,
it's like that fine line, because there's just so many teams in that like 1-6, 2-6 kind of area.
Well, you mentioned 11 teams are two games or less from the first draft pick, and the Patriots are at 3. So here are the top five and who could play it out, because two of the Tennessee and the Patriots are like 2-3, and they're playing each other. So this is why I kind of understand why some people are kind of like, this game doesn't matter. It's like a backdoor way of saying, you know, hey, try and get to that number two spot. So the Panthers won, their foot has never been on the gas. So, like, who could they,
the car.
Right, like, who could they draft that would change their fortune? Maybe Jesus, John the Baptist, I don't know, Einstein, all those guys. None of them are available for the draft next year. So,
yeah, generally you have to draft someone that's alive.
Right, so they're not going anywhere. So they're actually too bad to tank. Right, like I think
that's just who they are.
Right, like it's not
what's
a
that,
tank
what's that line in the Just a Jago? But they just might suck.
Yeah, they just might suck. I mean, it's a guarantee. It's like there are very few guarantees in life. The Patriots are too bad to tank. I mean, the Panthers are too bad to tank. Tennessee right now would be at number two. And tell me that Ryan Tannehill is not sitting around laughing at home thinking like, but they could be tanking for their chance to get Shedeur Sanders.
And I would add Arthur Smith too, who's gone to be the offensive coordinator with the Steelers, and
right.
He's got, you know, Justin Fields to win some games. Now Russell Wilson looks much better than he has in the last 2 years. The last time the Titans had a good offense was Arthur Smith at OC and Tannehill at quarterback. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so that's why it's interesting if Calvin Ridley is not out there, or it's like, well, he kind of
just traded Hopkins too.
Right. So it's like, do you kind of protect Ridley knowing that you're looking towards the future? Clearly, your quarterbacks on your team are not the guy. You might be sitting there thinking, hey, we're that closer to getting Shedeur Sanders in here. It's a southern city. You know, his father might consider like, hey, you could really make an impact as a southern boy. So they may be taking their foot off the gas. It'd be interesting because there's no pressure on them the way the pressure is on New England in terms of the new coach replacing Belichick, the season you had last year and so forth. So, look, I'm not saying Tennessee's going to lay down in this game, but I would say, like, if you're laying down money, I would definitely look at least the Patriots in the money line.
Yeah.
Just because
I think the Patriots are going to win this game outright.
Right, because it's one of those situations where it's like, okay, does Tennessee really benefit from dropping, say, from 2 spot down to 4 or 5 and not be able to at least get in the Shedeur Sanders conversation? It's interesting.
And this is too where, sorry to cut you off, but this is where, like, these two organizations, when it comes to that point, are in much different places. Like, the Patriots have Drake May, who should be their quarterback of the future. He looks that way. And no matter what, they're going to give him a couple of years to flesh it out. Whereas the Titans, they don't have that guy. They need that guy. So the number two pick is, I think, significantly more valuable to the Titans, or the number three pick. Like, the Patriots could pick 6th or 7th overall and still get either a great offensive lineman or a great receiver there. But for the Titans to get one of those top two quarterbacks, say, that maybe they really want, you kind of have to be in the top two, at worst the top three, to have a shot at one of those guys.
See, you walked right into my notes. They played. Look, when the Patriots beat the Jets, I think it's like they're going to play each game hard, like they're fighting for the playoffs, because I think they need to do that for their mentality. They've already got their QB of the future. Look, in the last draft, offensive linemen were taken at 5, 7, 11, and 14. In 2023, 6, 10, 11, 14. And in 2022, 6, 9, and 15. So like you were just saying, hey, if the Patriots finish with maybe the 5th or 6th or maybe even the 7th pick, if it's the offensive tackle you're looking to get, you can get that tackle probably in that spot, and you're probably in a situation that if someone falls who doesn't go 1, 2, 3, someone may offer you a haul to get to 7. Do you remember what Chicago did with Dallas when Justin Fields became available, when they gave up that haul to Dallas? So if you're the Patriots, you'd rather be in that 4, 5, 6, 7 area, I think. So that way you can, A, not have to worry about, because you're going to be paying an offensive lineman most likely. So that's going to reduce the price between what a 1 through 5 person gets, then 6 through 10 is another level, and then 10 through, I think, like 15 is another level, and then like 11 through 25 is another one. So you're the Patriots. You play hard and don't worry about trying to tank to get to the first pick. Because really, do you really think Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter are really going to be the answers for the Patriots if you took them next year?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, let's say they take Travis Hunter. Like, that doesn't solve your left tackle problem, right?
Right.
Like,
I don't know what a bigger problem Travis Hunter is really as a true receiver.
Right. And frankly, I think he might be a better corner than he is a receiver. As good as he's been a receiver, I think he might be a better corner. But that's, and even if I'm the Patriots, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but if they finish the year and have like the 3rd or 4th pick, I'd probably trade down anyway just to acquire more assets. So if they win more games and end up at 8, like that's probably better for the health of their program long term, because what you don't want
at is, 3, you would trade away that pick.
Yeah, like mostly. No. I mean, it'd have to be a good enough offer, but yeah, I would.
Because there might be a player of a lifetime that drops to you, and if you have him.
Yeah, I would lean, because you have the quarterback. That's what, like, if they didn't have the quarterback, like last year, they didn't have the quarterback, so I said stay at 3, take Daniels or May, whoever's there. Now you have the quarterback, you have more flexibility, and frankly, too, the mistake they made last year's draft is they went into the draft with 3 huge needs, quarterback, receiver, offensive tackle. Now they should go into the draft with only 1 major need, because they should use free agency or trades to either figure out tackle or receiver. But that's a conversation for another day.
I think tackle will be easier to figure out in free agency than wide receiver.
Yeah, it very well could be. That's a conversation for another day. But go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, let's skip over Jacksonville, because I think they played out because they already had their mess early. They're at 4. Yeah. But the Saints are very interesting because they could tank to get into the Travis Hunter sweepstakes, which now may say, hey, Patriots at 3, let's talk about swapping picks. So there, you see what I'm saying? Like, they already have their quarterback signed for a while in Derek Carr. They need another receiver. They may be the ones that go after Travis Hunter, but Travis Hunter may not be available once you get to 5. So this is where I would say, yeah, at 3, if you're the Patriots, and if the Saints finish in this position that they're in, you might say, hey, we'll swap 5 with you if that means we can get your 2nd rounder and say a 4th and a 3rd rounder next year. Then yeah, that's the deal you do, because the needs that are up there that you wanted that are probably going to go top 3 don't necessarily walk right into the Patriots' lap. Again, like you said with Travis Hunter, maybe he's a better corner than he is a wide receiver. So that's what makes this Tennessee Patriots game even more interesting, is because out of those 5 teams I mentioned, Tennessee is at 2, the Patriots at 3. Maybe Tennessee is that team that thinks, this isn't really, like, if they're putting Will Levis in there, but they felt like Mason Rudolph could move the ball a little, maybe that's a hint of where they're thinking. Tony Pollard might not be in there. This is the guy that you gave the money to be your 1 back. And then you may not even run Calvin Ridley out there. So it'd be very interesting. I think, John, as I mentioned in the earlier break, my concern would be is if the defense goes to lunch a little bit and doesn't really take Tennessee serious.
And the other piece of this, too, is, like you mentioned, the Saints. Derek Carr's coming back Sunday. They could take themselves out of this. And then there could be another team that's, because they could start winning some. I mean, they were 2-3 with Carr, with a close loss to Philly in there. So they could take themselves out of this, which would mean Tennessee would even have a clearer path to getting, you know, one of those top 2 picks, which maybe could add another layer.
After New Orleans would be the Vegas Raiders.
Right. They're not very good. You know, they stink too. But yeah, I mean, this game to me, it's 2 teams that are bad, but I think they're in a little bit of a different place, because Tennessee, I think, expected coming into the year to be a lot better than they were. And there were questions coming into the year about Will Levis and Mason Rudolph and that situation. And they have a new head coach too, but I don't think you fire Mike Vrabel, spend the money that you spent, spend the trade capital that you spent, and expect to be 1-6, right? Like, I think they came into the year thinking, hey, we're going to be better without Vrabel. We added Snead, we added Ridley, we added Tavondre Sweat in the draft, right? We're going to be better. Whereas the Patriots came into the year, and even though we complained over the past few weeks about how bad they looked, and rightfully so, we still even said then, well, we only expect this team to win 4 or 5 games. Like, that's the expectation. So these
remember we talked about when the Madden ratings came out and how Matthew Judon, I think, had the highest Madden rating. He's like at 83, and then they traded him like the next week. So it's like you already knew the construct of this roster for the Patriots was going to be limited. I mean, it was even stated really at quarterback, right? It was like Jacoby Brissett was announced that he was going to be the guy going into the season. So you knew this was going to be a kind of a feeling out look-see. I think just the shock of it, really, because really, if you went back and reviewed the season and said, okay, you restarted the season all over again, do you think Cincinnati loses to the Patriots in week one?
Or even if, let's say, the Patriots played them in week five. Like, right. You know, and they didn't, but it's...
Or after what you saw last night with the Jets, if you replayed that game on Sunday, flipped them around, do you think that the Jets would lose to the Patriots if they played them again, what you see now? So, look, the Patriots have taken advantage of two teams that just were clearly asleep at the wheel. I don't think Tennessee will be as asleep at the wheel.
And I also think this is different in that they're finally, I think, equally to more talented, where they really haven't been at all this year.
Yeah, there's nobody on paper have they matched up with where you would say it was like, even when we talked about the Jacksonville game over in London, it was more so because Jacksonville was in all this turmoil. Remember, the thought was Doug Peterson could be fired on the way back. They'd been in London for the previous week after losing that game the week before to Minnesota, I believe it was. So they were
Chicago.
Was it Chicago?
Minnesota beat the Jets the week before that.
Right, and then Chicago, right. Yeah. So they lose to Chicago, a team that's now kind of spiraling themselves. So here are the Patriots now, you know, now more at the halfway mark of the season, where you'd say you can see the hope story. Like, you could see the happy ending versus where some of the other teams are starting to say, okay, we didn't expect the ending or this to look like this. So that's why I think it's so important for Drake May to be in there, because of the momentum that the team has had, I think, culturally since he's been in there.
And what did we say before the season, right? The two things you really want to get out of this year is you walk away in January feeling good about Drake May as the future quarterback of your franchise and feeling good about Jerod Mayo as the future head coach. Now, up until last week, a lot of people didn't feel good about Jerod Mayo. And May, the jury is obviously
still... I stayed
still
the same.
A lot. The jury's still out on right. May, but... I think if you win this game, then even when the season ends, you can at least look back and say, well, at least they can beat teams that they're more talented than, or equal talented. At least they can do that, right? Like, they might not beat teams that have superior talent, which I know they technically did with the Jets, but there was a lot of turmoil there. But at least you can look back and say, hey, when they walk onto a field and they're equally or more talented than the other team, they can win. And I think that's one of those little things that in January, again, they might only win four or five games, but if you can look back and say, hey, they only won five games, but they upset the Jets, and then the one time they played a team that they were more talented than in Tennessee, they beat that team. And that's something to look back on and say, okay, well, we feel good about the young quarterback being able to do that. We feel good about the rookie head coach being able to do that. Now we need to add to this roster so they'll be equal to more talented than many other teams on their schedule instead of just one. So I think that's another layer to this, is that it's one of those games where, yeah, beating Cincinnati was great, beating the Jets was great. This is kind of a different animal, though, where it's, to me, the only time so far this year, maybe save for that Miami game, that you kind of are the better team.
Here's the real underlying tissue that I think is happening, and this is a smart play by Drake May if he's in there. It's going to show the team the toughness.
Yep, that's
right. Because while people can make arguments about a concussion is a concussion. But you start talking to some older school football players, they would tell you, like, I couldn't even tell that anything had happened to him. And he got back in there. So if there was a feeling like, hey, he was out and stayed out, I'm not, you know, I don't know if I can really go. So Drake May showing the toughness of even wanting to be in the game. You even heard Mayo mention it in his press conference earlier this week. It was like, after it had happened, you know, Drake was like, no, I'm good. I'm ready to go back in there. So it wasn't like, hey, this guy can't take the smallest of shots and be out there and be the quarterback. So that's why, and clearly you would never want to say that a player should rush themselves back from a concussion. That's one thing, because when you think of that, you're like thinking of Tua doing the defiant press conference a week ago.
But look at Anthony Richardson, right? Guy taps out of a game because he's tired and then gets benched because he loses the respect of the coaches and players. I know it's not the exact same situation, but if May is cleared, comes back and plays well the week after getting hurt, I think it kind of does the opposite,
I would say,
right?
Did you see the play, though, that Richardson...
That was ridiculous. So that gives him...
I think
him,
it's more the coaching staff than it is the player.
He's underperforming. He tapped out.
Well, like, no, here's the thing. Just say that the guy's
offensive
underperforming.
One of his said after the game, like, something... I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, I didn't think he would tap out, or I didn't think he would, like... It's bad. Yeah, like,
what they're really
the
saying is that this guy can't throw the football, and what they really need to do is
out. That's a different level too.
I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback do that.
A quarterback, too, of all positions.
So what is he supposed to do? Just stand in there and take
through
the...
it. You're supposed to be tough as a quarterback. Oh, you're a leader.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, like, look.
I think it
was just, you know, they say sometimes they can use the smallest of reasons to get to the biggest issue without, like, you kind of hang yourself in a situation. Right. If you take yourself out of that because you need a win, or should he have taken a timeout?
No, he should just play embarrassing.
But the other part of it is the guy hasn't performed on the field at all.
He completes less than 50%
of his
passes.
That's the reason why, because if he was performing well and this team was, you know, 5-2 and he took a breather, they would call the timeout.
I think if he doesn't tap out, though, then they probably don't.
No, I'm saying they would call the timeout on his behalf if he was playing winning football. But I guess back to Drake May, and I guess in this toughness thing, is by Drake May still wanting to make himself available after he took the hit to the top of the head, and then it was the league that had to call down, the spotter that had to call down to get him out of the game, and then even Gerard Mayo mentioned that, hey, even in the locker room, Drake was like, I'm fine, I'm good to go. The team has to do what it has to do to protect itself with the league. But I think that locker room is kind of like, yeah, this is another chalk up for this guy couldn't be the leader of this team by just wanting to be in there, going through the process, and being ready to go on Sunday. And if that's the case, then you have a more solidified culture, which we talked about how it'd been loose and seemed to be non-attentive. I've always said, as long as May and Mayo stay attached to the hip and are on the same message, great things can happen down the road. I think this is another one of those. It's where it's kind of like, okay, as the head coach, I've got to do what the league asked me to do. But as the player coming to the coach, he's fighting to stay in there. You want to see that, even though you can't act upon it. That's why I think it's really big that Drake May get back in there, because it's kind of like, yeah, that's my guy, right? Like, went through.
No,
it.
I think you're totally onto something.
Right, not
there.
A two or 3 week thing or something like that. Yeah,
I think there's a lot of guys in that locker room that lost respect for Mac Jones over the last couple of years with his on field complaining, right, his temper tantrums, going behind the coach's back to talk to people at Alabama. All this, right. I think there's a lot of guys that lost respect for him, and this would again give Drake May kind of a chalk mark in the opposite column there.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text messages 37937. We've got Professor Lyons next. Plus, we still got to get to Jim Montgomery. Is he on a hot seat that actually has been purposely set on fire? That's still to come. Thanks so much for hanging out in WEEI.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah! Turn it up, Zach! Turn that up! Da-dum-ba-dum-ba. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, good Friday to you. It's Patriots Friday. You missed any of the show. We've been getting into the conversation about Patriots-Titans this weekend. Also, maybe is there kind of next year's draft in the play? Any of it you missed, the Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI. There's even a talk function there that's available. Look, I'll tell you that just because that's like kind of corporate speak. Am I going to listen to that? I'm not so sure. And then, of course, go to WEEI at night, and you can hear chapter by chapter KJ and Lyons. John, before we get into Professor Lyons, I have to readdress something from earlier in the show and bring in our producer, Zach, and then we'll get to the text messages. That work for you, Zach?
Yep, that works.
Okay, perfect. How big of a fan are we of Young and the Restless? I have to go back to this because, John, you're not a fan of Young and the Restless, are you?
I've heard of it. No, not a fan.
Yeah, I don't paint John as a soap opera guy. John would be more of the ilk of, you know, the stuff is fake. Like, it's not real. Sometimes it could be. It would just turn John off. But, Zach, you're a fan.
The biggest.
Now, I have to ask you, when you first started watching Young and the Restless, what was one of the plot lines, if you remember?
I can't remember.
Okay, this is how big of a fan I am and how old my ass is. I go back to Young and the Restless when Nathan used to work for the mob, and he had met this young girl named Drusilla, and Drusilla couldn't read or write, and it was this storyline about literacy. Then when I was in college, this was at the time where at the time she was Nikki Abbott because she had married Jack Abbott. But Nikki Newman, as everybody would know her, right? Victor Newman's on and off wife who used to be the stripper. She was drinking cases of vodka to relieve back pain from when she fell off a horse. So you probably may or may not know this, but do you know that Drusilla never died on that show? You're like, you don't even, like, is Drusilla before your time?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So you're, so what's the kid's name? The deaf kid, is he still on there? Who's Olivia's son? He has like the cochlear implant. What is his name? I think he runs the coffee shop. The black kid, the black guy. What is his name?
His name is escaping me currently.
But you know, how are you a fan?
Isn't it, so, is it Devin?
Devin. This, it, yeah. How does Lions know
I
Devin?
It up.
Okay, there you go. I was going to say, I was like, what is he typing over there? Right, Devin. Devin, I remember when Devin was born. Devin's mother is Drusilla's sister. Drusilla was fell off of a cliff with, it's Newman's son's name. I forgot his name. I haven't watched it in about 10 years, but I used to be the hugest fan. So pretty interesting there.
Like I did that. See Stephen A. Smith on General Hospital a couple times.
Yeah, him and Schlereth have been on there, but I think that's kind of like a Disney shared thing because, you know, it's all under the ABC umbrella.
I'm not going to lie. I think that is kind of awesome. Like a General Hospital scene and just Stephen A. Smith walks in. Like, I don't know. I think that's pretty cool.
But you know, so there, now,
imagine
in terms
being someone who doesn't know Stephen A. Smith
and you just like, who's this guy? Who's this loud guy who's gesturing with his hands?
But, you know, that's the crazy thing is General Hospital used to be the show that when I was growing up was the one that you would sit there talking on the phone to a girl trying, you know, if you liked her, you would sit there and listen to her watching General Hospital. Maybe I'm just telling you about the failure of my dating life when I was a kid. But, hey, sometimes the things you have to do, you got to be persistent. And so Luke and Laura were in this big, huge love affair and everybody was going crazy and everything. Like, you know who's probably picking up on this? One of the 1 million women who live inside of Middlesex County. They're probably turning. They were like, wait a minute. I never listened to this sports station with my husband or my boyfriend. They're riding along somewhere. And they're like, this is amazing. I may have to start listening to KJ Lines because at least these guys talk a little bit of soap opera talk. Now, you may never hear it again, but I don't even know how Young and the Restless came up earlier in the show. I just had to see how much of a fan Zach has been. I go back to, oh my gosh, years. I remember when Kathleen Chancellor was alive, and I think she's been dead for 20 years.
Yeah, you were watching it before the Berlin Wall fell.
That is very true, because they had mixed in there, like, there were some really great plots in there. One of them was Cricket was kidnapped. When Cricket got kidnapped and her boyfriend, or the guy she was in love with, he was the guy that sang, hey, kids, boogie shoes and rock on. But he sang the remix. He sang the second version of that. I forgot his name. It was like a real singer. So, but I ended up, Sheila. Sheila, that was one of the best ones. When Sheila stole the baby, I ended up meeting Sheila at a PGA golf tournament years ago. And the picture, you could ask me $1 million. I don't even know where it is. But at the time, she was like the biggest villain on television. So, Zach, look up some of these characters, Sheila and
Zach's going to be here tomorrow night producing the BC game. You know what he's doing in his free time?
Probably watch
that's
an old
exactly
younger
what he's going to do.
Yeah, after BC.
We're going to ask him about it on Tuesday.
I'm going to miss a break when they go to send it. And be like,
Sunday night, Zach's going to be
Castellanos, interception for a touchdown. I'm sorry. I was watching old Young and the Restless KJ mention. 37937. What do you have on the text line?
One texter wants to rest Drake May as long as possible. There's nothing gained by pushing him too soon, and he doesn't want to see him ruined because the Patriots aren't prepared to protect him this year.
So, John, wouldn't he be ruined if he was like, yeah, I'm good to go, but I'm not going to go? Like, he's cleared, but he's cleared, and he's not doing anything.
Yeah, well, and this is different than another injury, right? Like, if it was a hurt shoulder or a sprained ankle,
right,
you could keep him out another week just to be safe. But this is, you know, you have the independent neurologist involved, and it's like the dude's either cleared or not. Like, this is more black and white because there's the five-step process, the independent neurologist. It's
right.
Not like a hurt shoulder, sprained ankle, whereas maybe one of those injuries, I might even lean towards agreeing with the texter, like, yeah, maybe an extra, but not with a concussion, just because, again, it's so black and white. So if they say he's cleared and Mayo's like, yeah, no, you're not playing anyway, then I think that's more detrimental than...
Like, you remember when he was on the injury report earlier the previous week with the maybe a little bit of a tweaked ankle?
Yeah.
You know, if that ankle was a little bit of a higher, if there was a sprain and this was going on, then you would say, you know what, let's rest you and get you better healthy with the ankle and get you out of the concussion protocol. Because think about it, if it's five steps like that, think about how long it is.
Zach, you got to read that last text right there for KJ.
Whoa.
Closet Young and Restless fan here checking in. This is great content.
We had to read that right away from the 978.
Well, see, that's the thing is, how do you think I was able to find myself being able to date people, right? Because once I got to college, I could talk.
It was the Steph Curry cachet you had.
No, bro. Any guy who goes around bragging about who they know, that's a girl who tells you, be like, well, I don't know you. But if you can have a conversation of... Yeah,
that's a good little back and forth, hypothetically.
Well, look, trust me, I've had some of those, but not trying to use, like, you know, this, that, and a third. But, you know, you could talk Young and the Restless, because I'm there in the cast.
So we are now on to our fourth Young and the Restless text that has come in the last minute.
See?
I'm just, like, looking at the screen and watching them. Yeah.
Well, that means you're capturing the conversation of the people, right? So that's the thing. When I would, so this is no lie, I dated at least two girls in college because I would be there watching Young and the Restless, eating my lunch, and they would come and sit over. And then you would start having a conversation about, like, the plot line and everything. You'd be like, hey, you stay in Barbie Hall? Shout out to the illustrious North Carolina A&T State University. You stay in Barbie Hall? I stay over in Scott Hall. Okay, let's meet up. I eat lunch here. 5 days a week, you get a chance to sit with this young female. Then eventually be like, what are you doing Saturday? Okay, let's hang out. Then after a while, you realize, like, damn, once the relationship went sour, I'm like, okay, I can't come to lunch at this time anymore. So that really did happen. All right. Still to come. Man, there's something fascinating going on with the Bruins last. Like, I almost sacrificed family time last night. When I turned on the game last night, it was 5-3, and then immediately went to 6-3. Something is afoot, and I think I know what really is going on with the Bruins. That's coming up in 10 minutes. But right now, it is time for...
Just what in the hell do you think? Learn about Cuba. How does
he feel? I'm John Kimble, new kindergarten teacher.
Who just wants to make out with me in the middle of class?
I've got a hangover. Who knows what that means?
Doesn't that mean you're drunk?
No, it means I was drunk yesterday.
We've been doing all this school talk. The Professor Lyons is here to try and school myself to see if my knowledge base is there. Professor Lyons, take it away.
KJ, by the way, you've been doing pretty good on this so far.
Yeah,
so
I'm probably about 750. I'm probably out of four.
Yeah, you go 3-2. So I got five questions tonight. Question number one.
You said 3-2. I said 75%. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So the Pacers beat the Celtics the other night. True or false, they set a season high in rebounds in that game against the Celtics.
The Pacers, now again, is that the record for the Pacers or
for the Pacers this year, their season high in rebounds?
Let's see. I'm going to say no, because they went into the game 1-3, and there might have been a lot of garbage rebounds in some of those losses. I'm going to say no.
It is true. They had 57 rebounds, which was their season high.
I'm 0-1. You jinxed me to start this. All right, next one.
Question number two. Our dear friend Mookie Betts, I wish the Red Sox could get players like him. In the two World Series championship runs the Dodgers have had with Mookie, he has hit 290 or better throughout the playoffs in both of them.
In both of them, hitting 290.
At least 290.
At least 290 in both. Ooh, that's tricky, because what stuck in my head is how they suffered last year, him and Freeman, why they didn't get ahead.
They were bad.
I'm going to say true, because Mookie was the MVP the last time they won the World Series, I believe, the Dodgers.
It is true. He hit 290 or better in both, including this past one.
Professor! All right, 1-1.
All right, here's a real deep down in the weeds question for you, KJ. When the Patriots run the football, because we talked about their running game a lot, when they run the football to the left or to the center, they average less than 4 yards a carry.
That's true, because I think of all the runs of Stevenson trying to go to the left, and he seems to consistently get stopped. If anything, he can break runs to the center and right.
That is true.
Yes!
The only place they've had more than four yards of carry better is going to the right. They cannot run to the left, and they can't run up the middle.
This kid, Young and the Restless and spot on. I have not seen these questions in advance, ladies and gentlemen.
He has not. And question number four. The Tennessee Titans have the number one yards per game defense in the NFL and the number one passing yards per game defense in the NFL. True or false, per Pro Football Focus, they have generated at least 100 QB pressures.
The Titans have generated
one pass defense in the NFL.
100 QB pressures. So so 8 games, 12 pressures. That would put it at 96 per game. I'm going to say false, because that last week, I think that might they might be just short of 100.
Pressures. Most teams are over 100 a lot, 120, 130. They're actually one of the lower teams in the league.
Yeah, because if you get 50 put on you, what are you really rushing at that point? You're just kind of defending the run.
And this next question, question number five, is
which
a layup if
okay.
you were listening earlier.
Okay.
The Titans D is the best in the NFL in yards per game.
Yes, you just said it in the last question.
Thank you. You were listening. Okay, it's true.
I almost got that wrong because I was thinking earlier last hour. So, yeah, continue to hang out with KJ and Lion, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. The Jim Montgomery setup next on WEEI.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.